Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, senior market analyst over at Oanda. Now, Shad and I are going to bounce a couple questions off of Ed here. First and foremost, focused on the Fed meeting coming up, and the Fed statement, more importantly, on Wednesday. Look, all eyes are on the Fed, and I think everybody is wondering, is there going to be any change to the Fed's policy? I don't think we can expect any change, but even more importantly, is the Fed going to start warning the markets that a change could be coming here? In other words, is the Fed going to be at least perceived to be less dovish after this meeting? Ed, start us off here. What do you think? Is the Fed going to say anything that finally has investors saying, you know what, maybe they are going to start to wind back some of these ultra accommodative monetary policies?
I think we're getting there. I think the tone is definitely going to change. The comments about taper talking, we've heard from Harker. Obviously, everyone knows Kaplan. He's been ready to talk about taper. Quarles and Mester. There's just more policymakers that are vocal. Everyone's been, still focused on inflation. And yes, the transitory argument still holds. But the growth outlook, I think the writing is on the wall for a massive June non-farm payroll. I think a lot of that is because of the expiration of these extended unemployment, federal unemployment benefits, and from half the states. You're going to see a lot of Americans that are now going to be willing participants in the labor market recovery. So we're having, I think, good chunks of improvement on both sides of labor and inflation. And the Fed is going to, I think, be in a position now where, yes, they're going to be less dovish. And I think that you're going to probably have the beginnings of the Fed committing to identifying some type of progress-dependent tapering plan. And with that, I think that is what should be, I think, everyone is going to start to expect. With that, I think that should be very positive for the dollar. I think that will provide a little bit of a support there, because the economic recovery, it's still looking strong. It's still looking pretty. It's on track. I think the big takeaway, though, for me, is that the Fed right now, they have really, the New York Fed survey showed a shift in inflation expectations that has increased significantly. The one-year inflation jumped 0.6 percentage points to 4%, and the medium inflation to 3.6, the second highest in the series level. So I think you're going to have the whole transitory debate intensify, and this should make this a much more livelier meeting. But in the end, I think taper discussions, I think we're now thinking about it.
So Ed, if we do get a bit more of a at least dovish comment from the Fed, how does that impact the markets? A quick comment there, I assume markets show some weakness on the back of that, but then also interest rates. What happens to interest rates if the Fed is more dovish?
With a much more dovish Fed, if let's say they kind of refrain from signaling that the economy is improving in a way where they're willing to think about talking about tapering, that's just going to keep the party going. I think it's going to keep equities rising higher. It'll depress Treasury yields, and you'll probably see the Nasdaq continue to outperform. So I think traders, what you're going to see, probably the most likely scenario will be that you'll have, I think, the beginnings of discussing, what type of strategy they want to have going forward, and anything that signals that they're moving closer towards that taper discussion is likely to allow Treasury yields to really kind of get their groove back, and you could see the 10-year Treasury yield rally well above 150, maybe settle around the 150s. Real yields will definitely continue to improve. I think, you know, there was a moment, I think, last week where it seemed like, wow, are we going to hit negative 1%? That's not happening. I think you're going to have investors, you know, this is the thing with the way how the market's positioned. The accommodation is still going to be there. It's going to last quite a while. And I think that there is still a lot more optimism for the economic recovery over the next quarter or two. And you're still going to see investors obviously grow nervous of a taper tantrum, but I think you're not going to see the bull case completely blown up here. I think you're going to see modest weakness, and I think people are looking to buy any significant dip we see in equities. I think that the S&P 500 is still poised to rally a lot higher. I think the reopening trade is still have some prospects left in it, and you're probably going to see infrastructure become another focal point again. And this economy right now, it's still ready to accelerate higher here. And we're probably going to see a very strong U.S. consumer, I think, going forward as we have the participation rate really improve, and as employers are able to slowly start to fill those vacancies that they've been struggling over these past few months. So I think that whatever weakness we see in stocks, I think you're going to see that bought. A repeat of the 2013 taper tantrum, unlikely to happen here. I think whatever weakness, it'll be minimal, even if some risks start to emerge when that taper tantrum, or when the actual tapering happens.
Well, that's an interesting take on things, because one of the things the Fed has done is they've kind of painted themselves into a corner in a way, in that if they get too hawkish and if they take the gravy train away and stop being as accommodative as they are, then the rates would raise a lot higher, because right now they've kept the rates subdued by buying $120 billion worth of bonds every month. So if they do think about tapering back some, couldn't the markets see that as a risk? And I don't know that a taper tantrum would be off the table in that environment. If the rates started rising, even though there's inflation that's moving ahead and the reopening trade is very positive and there's a lot of juice behind that, if they came out and said, hey, we're thinking about tapering a lot sooner than we've mentioned, don't you think that could cause a market blip?
I think that is possible, but given the requirements, given they've clearly stated they need to see substantial progress. We're still very far away from substantial progress. Even if we have 1 million jobs created in June in the non-farm payroll report, and let's say another 1 million in July, we're still not near substantial progress. The pace is, they don't care about trajectories. They don't care about forecasts. They want to see actual results. So I think that we're still in a sweet spot here for equities. And I think right now, you know, the way some investors might play this, they might become a little bit more focused on abroad as far as seeing some more upside there. But I think in the end, you're not going to see, I think, the Fed just already signal that, okay, you know, we're going down to $100 billion a month. I think it's not like we're going to just see it go down to zero. They're going to slowly move this back. So the market is going to, even if the best case scenarios emerge, or worst case with inflation, you're still going to see, I think, a lot more support a lot longer. And there's nothing especially given, you know, this latest inflation report. That screamed transitory. There was a big reason of why we saw, you know, that those high numbers. Some of that was attributed to used car sales, and I know one of my good friends, they bought a car, and you know, they bought it a couple months ago, and the car dealership called them back saying, we want to buy it back at a profit for you. So he could have made money on a used car he bought a couple months ago. There's a lot that's still transitory. Yes, we're seeing some spikes here in food prices, and but I think that this inflationary fears, it's been pent up spending. The supply chain issues are going to fix themselves, and I think that we're seeing, you know, surges in like OJ and milk, but I think that in the end that we're probably going to continue to see people be a little bit more optimistic here, that it is transitory as we go through these next couple of months. And if that changes, then yes, then I think I would fear the taper tantrum. But right now, I think the inflation story is still looks transitory.
Yeah, the inflation story has gotten a lot of press the last month or two, and the numbers have been a lot hotter. And a lot of people have pointed to the base effect, you know, the year over year being a big part of that, and that some of these things will work themselves out as the economy reopens. However, I've read a couple articles over the weekend of people discussing the fact that even before the pandemic, even before we had all the challenges in the market, the inflation readings we're getting now is still higher than they were even before all this. So before there was a thing called the reopening trade, these numbers are getting a little higher, and it sounds like you expect them to kind of phase back down. But when we see things like oil running as high as it is, that affects freight. That affects how prices are determined in the marketplace, because if it costs more to ship goods, it costs more to ship food, as you mentioned. If it costs more to import items, then costs go up for companies. And when we look at things like lumber and copper and steel and all the metals and even the soft commodities and proteins, they've all gone up quite a bit. They have cooled off some, but with these kind of prices, you know, we're seeing it in home prices. We're seeing it everywhere. Like you mentioned, the used cars. It's really the semiconductors having a hard time sourcing them. So we're seeing inflation things that don't seem as transitory to me when I look at it and to a lot of other market commentators. You know, when do you think we see the balance here? Because if rates stay negative, real rates, that's going to keep a lid on things.
Well, throughout the longest expansion in U.S. economic history, we really didn't see inflation. Towards the end, yes, you can make the argument that things were getting interesting, but we didn't. And given the way President Trump positioned the economy, you know, with all the tax cuts, and it just seemed that everything was if you can't get inflation in that environment, it's really going to be hard to say when or how can you. Addressing your oil comment, and I think it's important to take a step back as far as as far as oil prices go. I think still the market is still firmly in belief that, you know, over the next few years, yes, we can, you know, see oil prices spike or rise, you know, $20 for a handful of geopolitical or supply disruption reasons. But the market is pretty convinced that, you know, we're going to be range bound on oil prices. The 2024 outlooks for both Brent and WTI, they're in the mid 60s. And I think a lot of that is because, well, right now oil is going to be extremely bullish, I think, these, you know, for the rest of the year, because of, you know, the lack of investment because of COVID-19. No one was in, everyone was just trying to save their balance sheet. So we're going to have inflated oil prices for quite some time. I think oil companies are now doing a lot better. They're going to be reinvesting, and you're going to probably see that, you know, when we're talking about, you know, the amount of supply and investment, it's going to be a lot healthier. And a lot of the market is focused on transitioning away from oil. But I think right now you still have a lot more I think expectations that this move in oil, it's going to change dramatically once we start to see everyone battle for market share. So I think, you know, the oil price narrative, I think, yes, we'll probably have oil rally to $80, but then I think eventually it's going to settle down. It's going to go range bound. You're probably going to have a much more a sideways market for oil prices once everyone is becoming a little bit more, battling for their share of the pie. But in the end, as you highlighted it, a lot of those commodities that you mentioned, some of them have come back down to, have been starting to pull back a little bit. I think that, you know, the inflation argument will be still the primary focus going forward. And I think the case that this inflation is going to be persistent, it's, you know, is there a chance? Yes. If I had to give it percentages, I'd say probably it's 80% transitory, 20% persistent. So yes, that's still a significant, amount saying that it could be. But I think that right now, if you're positioned in this market, I think you still have to feel that this is going to be transitory. And that once we start to see these supply chain issues go away, I think, you know, you're going to see a different market, and that should happen in a few months, if not a little bit later.
Okay, guys, I want to take a step back here because, look, the whole inflation, whether it's transitory or not, debate, that's going to go on for months, as long as inflation stays up there, right? And maybe next year we'll be talking about inflation still at high levels, and that transitory debate or discussion will lessen because, well, time will tell on that one. But we recap this last year, and whether it's commodities, whether it's markets, whether it's cryptocurrencies, we've seen some pretty extreme moves and some pretty strong uptrends in all of these. Now, yes, we have seen a bit of a pullback in a lot of different sectors, cryptos for sure, some commodities, the U.S. markets, they're still hanging up around all-time highs. But if we're moving into this environment where the Fed starts to talk a little bit more hawkishly, and fact of the matter is, people are getting back to work. There are actually less market participants because people are back doing normal stuff. Does that mean we need to be a little bit more cautious here, Ed? The last year, it was wild, but now we might be getting back to a different environment here where less market participants, less Fed intervention. That means less capital in the system.
I think there's a lot you have to take a look at, and right now, you know, for the most part, yes, we're at record highs or near them in U.S. stocks, but for the most part, this market has been range bound for the last couple of months, and I think what we're seeing is there's been a lot of new investors that have come on board, and they're not trading the way that new traders normally would, and they're you know, we've seen market participation, I think, really be widely distributed. Some are going to the meme stocks, some are still sticking with cryptos, some are and it's fascinating, but the return of sports, you've seen sports betting has come up a lot, and some of those people that throughout the pandemic were big into the stock market because that was what they could do. Some of them have gone back to sports. So I think there is a lot of uncertainty as far as, how is, the market going to play out these next few months, and especially as, taper tantrum recordings will debates will intensify, and I think that right now you're having a lot of people anticipate that the doldrums of summer are here, it is really going to I think be a summer where we're focused solely on how the Fed positions themselves. I think for me, a few months, I've been focused on Jackson Hole as the main event, where the Fed will have an in-person Jackson Hole in Wyoming, and they're going to go ahead and lay out their taper strategy. That has been possibly put at risk. Some are thinking maybe that might be a little bit later now. So you have a wait and see market, and whenever you have a market that's in wait and see, you're not having a lot of conviction behind these moves, and with that you lose a lot of investor interest. The amount of people reaching out to me as far as questioning as far as some of the volatile swings we've seen throughout this pandemic, those calls have dropped off a lot for me. And I think you're right in pointing out that with reopening, and as Americans and hopefully everyone else is able to travel and do more, trading will head into the back burner. So I'm expecting that this could be a very difficult summer of trade, because you're probably going to see that there might be a handful of trading days that will provide 90% of the move. So it is going to be something you're going to have to really stay on alert, because I think it might come from a Fed speech. It might come from a certain key technical level being breached that could really dictate what happens this summer. But this is definitely going to be a difficult summer of trade, I think. And a lot of that is because we're going to have some days where the market is doing nothing.
Fair enough. You know what? The market has been pretty boring recently anyway, and probably some volatility this week around that Fed meeting. But yeah, it seems like we're all just waiting for another catalyst or some bigger market moves to, I think, bring some people off the sidelines, either on the short end or on the long end. Ed, thank you for your time. An interesting discussion here as we looked ahead to the Fed meeting and also some of the, discussions around inflation. Again, we won't know until time says, but definitely right now, inflation is running a bit hot. Ed, thanks for your time. I'll post a link below this interview to the OANDA website where everyone can read over your daily note. Thanks, Ed. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.